Something for the weekend on Saturday. Now, you may have been paid yesterday or the day before and you're thinking to yourself, this money has got to stretch very, very far in December. And I think a lot of people as well, they get paid early in December. It's probably actually even worse at the end of the month. You get paid early in December to cover for January and then you're not getting a paycheck until February. So you need your money to stretch. And no better woman to speak to today than Kel Gallivan, who you probably follow on Instagram. I know I do. Mrs. Smart Money HQ. She has the website, mrssmartmoney.com. And also the author of this fab book, Mindful Money. I have it beside my bed all the time. And I'm always getting tips from this. Kel, welcome back.
It is great to be back, Trita. How are you?
I was mentioning there about some of the tips. Now, for anyone who hasn't heard Kel on the show before, she's just absolutely remarkable. You were saying how you wanted to spend more time with the children while they were small and you were working and commuting and it was very hard. And you managed to really, really sort out the budget in your household. And you ended up saving 27 grand in a year so that you could actually step away from work for a while to focus on the family. An incredible, incredible thing to do because everyone thinks, oh, we could never afford to do that. But you managed it. And one of the tips, by the way, that I've borrowed from you is you went down to one car and the last time you were on, I was saying, oh, I couldn't do that now. Definitely couldn't do that. We've done it. We've done it in our household. And not only that, Kel, I'm down almost 2 stone because I'm walking everywhere. Yeah.
How do you feel?
Amazing. Amazing. And you know what? There's something about when you walk everywhere, you meet people. And I'm meeting people that I haven't seen in years. You make new friends along the way. You see people out walking their dog. You start to know your neighbours.
Well, fair play to you. Cause I know it's a big step because with Ireland, you kind of go, oh, how could you possibly get away without, you know, your very own car?
Yeah.
But when you actually slow down and think about how often you need your car versus your partner, particularly if one partner maybe is working from home now, or if you live kind of within, you know, within a town or a city, there are ways to kind of pre-plan a bit when it comes to sharing the car, but it is very possible.
It's things like the supermarket shop. Yeah, you do have to plan that a bit, but you do that on a day when you have the car on the Saturday or whatever. And there was one day I was going, I wish I had a car. Do you remember the day when it was the really severe thunder and lightning and I got caught out in it and I was thinking, oh my God, I'm not going to make it home alive. That day I did want a car, but other than that, I'm thinking to myself, the money we're saving on tax, insurance, upkeep, everything. And cars have gone so expensive now as well. You know, even to buy a second-hand car, it's mad money. So yeah, I can do without one for now.
And look, I mean, if things change, Trina, with the money you're saving, you could always be saving in the background if you ever did need to get a second car without having a loan or anything. Mm. You could have all that money you're saving now, but maybe you won't. And the longer you can keep that, like if you're walking and you're meeting people and you're feeling healthier and bettering yourself, that to me would indicate there's no need to get a second car yet anyway.
Mind you now, if anybody would like me to be the ambassador for their car brand, absolutely no problem. Give me a freebie. So mindful money. So this month, I suppose everyone's in the same boat when it comes to money this month. It is going to be tough, isn't it? So how do you navigate that? What do you do to make sure you're okay around this time of year?
Look, this time of year can be hectic at the best of times. And I think this Christmas, of all Christmases, things are that bit tighter anyway. And if you're getting paid early and you mightn't get paid then till the end of January, early February, it can be a bit of a daunting stretch. So I think for anybody, I would start by thinking ahead, like what do you have coming up? Because you need to make that money just to stretch out that little bit longer. And like there's other levels you can do. And one I would say would be definitely when it comes to food, because this is a really expensive time for food. And when you are thinking of maybe even getting a takeaway or something like that, just see what you have at home in your freezer. You might have frozen pizza in there and that might hit the spot just nicely. But you can eat at home just a couple of extra nights. That will help the money go a bit longer. And other things as well, like I'm a big fan, as you probably know, Trina, of the no spend day.
Yeah.
And the no spend day is basically any day where you don't spend money unless on groceries or essential bills, because you have to pay your bills and you have to eat well. But there'll be loads of days, particularly in winter, if you're a few days off from work, and just get out into the park or out into nature or something like that and bring a picnic with you, because there's some lovely, bright, clear days where you can bring the kids and family out or to the beach. It's absolutely gorgeous. And just head out and just do things that don't cost money, and that'll help keep a little bit more to get you through the end of January.
I'm always amazed at my colleagues, Kel, when they come in and they're saying, oh God, I'm absolutely broke. And then they're in the spa getting their chicken fillet roll, and then they're going back in for a sausage roll later in the day, and then they're getting their can of Coke and they're getting their coffee around in Starbucks, and you're kind of going, how much have you spent today? No wonder you're broke.
That's exactly the sentiment behind. And most of those things, they won't remember in a week or two what they even got to spend the money on with things like that. And that's where the no spend days are really helpful, because they help curb the spending that doesn't matter. You know, the spending you either forget, or, as I like to put it, end up in landfill in 6 months' time, and it never amounts to anything. Whereas if you maybe brought your lunch with you in the weeks coming up to Christmas, you know, or brought your coffee or whatever you needed during the day, just to give the budget a little bit of a break so you can make it last a bit longer. And other little things as well, like, so even for going out, like, loads of really lovely events and we all want to go to them. But I would say there's two big places where you can save a lot of money, and that is, if you have time, take a couple of hours of the weekend and just go through your wardrobe before Christmas starts, because quite often there are little gems hidden in the back there that we might have forgotten about that we could just pull out for the Christmas season. Yeah. And that might say you have to, you know, buy nice new clothes. There could be something there, or swap with friends or something. And then the other one is, maybe it might be worth being the designated driver for one or two nights that you're not that pushed on. You know, really prioritize the nights you want to go out and have a laugh and meet all your friends. But the other events that it doesn't matter if you drive home or not, or drink or not, and pick those nights to kind of save on the money and maybe not drink, and then drive home a bit earlier whenever you're ready to go home, so that you can have that bit more money for the night you really want to go out and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that's it. Actually, talking about the dress one there, I was looking at a dress there last weekend and it was 50 quid. Yeah. And I was thinking I could wear that to the Christmas party, and that could do, yeah, I could definitely wear that. And then when I came home, I did have a look through the wardrobe, and I have so many dresses, Kel. Like, I was thinking to myself, why am I going out to look to buy another dress when actually most of the stuff I already have been worn maybe once? It's mad the way we just automatically feel like we have to buy a new outfit for every event, don't we?
Oh, and look, no better time than now to rewear a dress you had a while ago, because we haven't seen each other properly in years, maybe, at this stage. So even if they did see the dress, they won't remember. Yeah. I wouldn't remember anyway. Yeah. And it is definitely worth going through your wardrobe if you can before Christmas, because there's often a lot of clothes bought around Christmas, and then you're facing into January and there's all the January sales, and you'd be really tempted to go in and, you know, buy loads of stuff. But just see what you have at home first. And if you do need, if there is something, if you're having any jeans left and you know you need a pair of blue jeans or whatever, absolutely fine. But just make sure you know that's what you need. And you could find some great gems in the back of the wardrobe.
Yeah. It's about buying things, I think, that you know that you're going to get more than one wear out of as well.
Totally. The no spend year really brought it home to me that it's very much a quality over quantity. And if you get something that's a bit timeless, really good quality, it will last you years and years, decades even. I've a couple of bits now, and all my fast fashion fell apart that year when I did the no spend year, and I still have my really good stuff, and it's still in really good nick, and I end up spending less on clothes overall but higher quality. And it takes a little bit of time to get to that point, so I wouldn't go dumping all the clothes you have. I would wear them out and then replace them slowly with good quality things.
Have you still ditched getting the nails done and the hair done and all that?
Some of it has come back. Yeah. So I would get a few bits and pieces done, and I really enjoy it, and I have those as particular days, and I have a little sinking fund, which is for me to spend on myself.
Yeah.
And it's a really nice feeling, because it's guilt-free then, and I can spend whatever I want in that category. And how somebody would start that would be, like, when your paycheck comes in and you have all the different bits and pieces, put a small amount of money aside in a little vault or something that's just for you. Mm-hmm. And you can go, that's for my nails, or that's for my hair, or that's for my makeup, or that's for my whatever it is, and enjoy that money, but try and stick within that amount of money as well.
Okay.
And then it's guilt-free and you get the nice stuff.
Right. Okay, when it comes to your household budget then over the next few weeks, I mean, even the Christmas groceries alone, you see it at the till all the time. People there Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve, and they spend 300 quid on their shopping. And it's like, what?
Yeah, look, Christmas is one of those times where generosity, our natural generosity, comes to the fore, and how loads of us show our generosity is by having loads of food and feeding our friends and relatives. Like, we love to do that, and it's a beautiful part of our nature. But there are so many things to buy now, and we only have one stomach each and only one appetite at a time. So I think, yes, buy the stuff, but you don't have to buy the turkey and the ham and the duck and the chicken and the this and the that and the side of salmon. pick the two you really, really love and get nice versions of them and enjoy them. And there'll be plenty more days over Christmas and plenty of stuff in the stores if you want to get a duck a few days afterwards or whatever.
Yeah.
But just pick the things you know you're going to really enjoy. And people might love mince pies but be not so fond of a Yule log or vice versa. Well, get the one that the people are most fond of, the people pleaser one. And then you can always add to it in time, but our stomachs are only a certain size, and food waste is one of the biggest times of year where we do waste most of our food.
Are you a fan of, you know, these saving stamps and these things that you can buy in the run up to Christmas to cover your groceries? Because I just think if I did that, I'd lose it. I'd lose all the stamps, and then we'd be out of pocket.
Well, true, that's, you put that very well. So it really does depend on the person. Some people do so well on this because it's their guaranteed way and peace of mind to know that, right, that's the food sorted, and try and stick within that budget that you have on food stamps and maybe a little bit extra or whatever, but try and just keep that. And other people, it won't work as well for. So I would say with that, yes, it works really well if it makes sense to you to do it, because it's no good if it ends up in the bin or lost or whatever. That's just money gone, exactly as you said. Yeah. But if it's something that you know it resonates well with you, it's something that just makes you feel a bit more secure and you know you'll keep it and you won't lose it, then yes. But if in doubt, maybe not.
Buying the Christmas gifts then, I saw Martin Lewis, that money expert from the UK, and he was saying how people feel obligated to be buying presents for all kinds of people, extended families, the postman, the whatever. And he said sometimes the greatest gift that you can give somebody is to not do that, because they feel obligated to buy you something back and they might just not have the money.
And the whole thing gets out of hand, because then you feel like twice
you
the back. And
yeah.
Do you know what? That was so well put. Again, during the no-spend year, I kind of made the really hard phone calls to kind of say, because we've loads of nieces and nephews, and there was so much plastic going around. And actually, it wasn't even a no-spend year thing. It was just, there was too much plastic in our house. It was overwhelming. So I kind of said it to some of my sister-in-laws and things, like, you know, can we slow down on this for this year? Each of them said, yes, thank you. That's so great. That's a relief, because they were getting loads of plastic in their houses. And at that stage, it wasn't even about money. It was just the pure overwhelm and the extra things
stuff
they had to get.
Everywhere. Stuff and clutter
stuff
everywhere.
Yeah. And the house were just been flooded with things. And but things bought with well-meaning and kind gestures behind them. But now what we do, and this is for anybody who kind of doesn't want to just do a cold turkey on buying presents, is it, instead of buying gifts this year, let's all meet for lunch, or let's all get an early bird together and just enjoy each other's company for a few hours in a nice restaurant, and just that will be our Christmas present to each other. And everybody then, just each family pays for themselves then, and that's just a really nice way to get around the present thing without it costing a fortune, and you still get to spend time.
No, it is pressure, isn't it? And then people do feel, oh, I have to get them something back now, they're after getting something for me. Or the mortification when somebody arrives with a gift and you don't have one for them, and you're like trying to find an old bottle of wine from the press to re-gift.
Well, I think most people, they do understand at this stage. And I saw a lovely post actually today, and it was, if somebody on minimum wage buys you a €25 gift, they've had to work 2 or 3 hours in their life to give that gift to you. And the sentiment behind it was, you know, it is okay to take pressure off yourself and others this year of all years.
Yeah,
I just thought it was really lovely.
Even Santa Claus as well can struggle sometimes with the amount of presents he has to make and stuff. Kids, when you're writing your letter to Santa Claus, just don't ask for too much as well.
Yeah, a nice kind of tip to help Santa with this is to give him options. Whenever you're sitting down to write your letter to Santa, that's really important to get it written nice and early. Give him like your top 3 or 5 things that you really like and say, look, whichever one, and just tell him, you know, you'd be happy with any of them, and just give him options, because like there's so many kids out there and he has to get around to everybody, and poor sleigh is only a certain size, so he'll do his absolute best to get you the best present he can, but it's best to give him options if you can.
Yeah. So into January, Kel, that's going to be the really difficult one. Now, I know a lot of people will be staying at home. There won't be much partying going on once January kicks in. But we're all known for being skint in January. So how do you manage January?
The first hurdle in January is January sales.
Oh, avoid them. Unsubscribe to all the websites sending you details. I think the same for the Black Friday stuff there the other week. No, unsubscribe.
Yeah, it's been so noisy this year, I think, particularly with Black Friday, Cyber Monday, this sale, that sale. And the thing with sales, they do create a sense of urgency as they're never going to be here again. Mm. But I sat down the other day and I wrote out, and I said, right, there's Black Friday sales and there's Cyber Monday sales and there's pre-Christmas sales and there's post-Christmas sales and there's January sales and there's end of season sales and there's summer sales and there's back to school sales and there's bank holiday sales. Yeah. There's a sale every second week. If you feel the urgency to jump into the January sales because it's the ultimate never-ending sale, try and take a step back and just do a quick jot down of the next set of sales that are going to be coming, because there's always sales on sales on sales. There'll always be another sale. So if you can unsubscribe, they'll have you back if you want to go back, but it's okay to unsubscribe. You won't be missing out on anything. There'll always be sales. If you can get through that, that's a huge start into January. And then I'm a big fan of doing spring cleans, because the amount of things you find that you never knew you had will save you a lot of money as well. And the decluttering of it, because it'll not help pass the time, but it'll help you figure out what you have and maybe start using some of the things that you do have. But another big one, and it is one of the habits, I call it use mindfully, and that is to take a little bit of time and line up all the consumables, like the beauty consumables. So when I say that, I'm talking your shampoos, your conditioners, your makeup, things like that, and just see what you have, all the soaps and spray bottles and everything. And yes, buy nice things, but only when you've finished all of what you already have at home.
Oh, I tell you, I could open a boot shop with the stock I have, my stock room. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And of course, people end up giving you more as well at Christmas. And you're throwing these things into your trolley and you have them at home. Doesn't make sense. I'm an awful one for, you know, when you get to the till in the shops and some chemists and they have a cream on like that on sale or a new cream in, and I'm, oh, that'll be a nice moisturiser. I have a vat of moisturiser at home. I don't need any more. But yeah, it's just kind of being very conscious about what you're buying. So for somebody who wants to turn a new leaf now in January and they're saying to themselves, right, 2023 is going to be the year that I sort myself out, because I think, you know, with the energy prices and everything and the supermarket, like the food has gone up so much, hasn't it?
Yeah.
2023, I think it probably needs to be the year when we really focus on our finances and get budgets in place. So I know you talk about sinking funds, emergency funds. Can you explain just briefly what they are?
Yes. Sinking funds and rainy day funds. They're the kind of the two that I find are the best. So a sinking fund, it's a savings account or savings vault or jar or whatever you want to put it, that has a specific name on it. So when I say that, if you know in a couple of years you're going to need a car, or you know Christmas comes every year, or you back to school is always expensive in your house, they're things that are kind of big budget items that burst a hole in your money. So if you can have a vault or something like that and just put a bit of money aside each time you get paid, even if it's a small amount, and you build that up, so when the time comes, when back to school comes, you'll have a little bit of money sitting there. And even if it doesn't cover all of it, it'll make August much, much easier and handier and less stressful for you. And same for Christmas, because that gets expensive. The sinking fund is for that one particular thing. Where a rainy day fund comes in, that's your other type of savings account. And a rainy day fund, it's for the unexpected, expected things. A nice analogy I find, that's why I kind of stuck with rainy day fund, is that in Ireland, it's going to rain. Right?
Yeah.
You don't know when it's going to rain, how heavy the rain will be, or how long the rain's going to last. I don't feel it at the moment, doesn't it? But it's going to rain. And your rainy day fund just protects you from that. So like if the car breaks down on you, or the dishwasher decides to flood your kitchen, or there's an extra big bill comes in, you weren't expecting it. You know, something inevitably is going to break or go wrong or throws you off kilter. That's what your rainy day fund is for. It's for those things that will inevitably break, that are just more expensive than what you can afford on a monthly basis. And I think that's, of all of them, that's a key one to start with. If you're new to saving, start a rainy day fund. Because even if you can get to €500, that will cover a lot of emergencies that pop up. And if you can go a bit higher or build up really slowly, you don't have to have it straight away, build up slowly over time, give yourself a goal for that. And if you have even just a rainy day fund built up that you keep topped up, that's such a peace of mind, and it'll get you out of so many tight binds, and it'll mean you can get something fixed and get on with your life and then build a rainy day fund again. And then your next level would be if you can start sinking funds, even 5-10 euro put in each time you get paid, just to build it up nice and slowly. Like, it just, if you think, imagine if you had an extra couple hundred euro coming to Christmas now, or an extra same amount when it comes to back to school or anything like that, or holidays. That's another big one. It just helps things smooth out, and it takes a lot of stress out of money as well.
I think for so long we were so used to getting everything on credit. Just put it on the credit card, you know, just get a loan in the credit union instead of actually like the old days when people would plan and save the money and then get the thing. And it's the only way to get that financial freedom is to plan and think, what do you have coming in? What are your outgoings? And writing it all down. You're going to get a shock when you write down your outgoings every month. But you need to know what the number is, don't you?
You absolutely do. And if you think about it this way, right? So if you think Google Maps, most people will know Google Maps, and Google Maps will bring you anywhere in the world, anywhere, but it won't until you have your starting point.
Yeah.
And that's when you work out your numbers to see exactly where you are. And you might actually not be as bad as what you think you are, but it is important to sit down and look at where your money is going. And that is your starting point. And even if you're a bit nervous at the beginning, it's worth doing, because then you can see, okay, where are my leaks? You know, what can I cut out that I won't miss? There'll be a couple of things, like a few subscriptions in there or a couple of bills that you just, you know what, I don't even use that thing anymore. Yeah. Cancel it, free up that €10 and put that into your savings account for Christmas.
Yeah. What a friend of mine does, she has a €100 budget for the groceries every week. And sometimes, you know, it might come to like €88 or €90. And she'll actually get that €12 or that €10 and she'll put that aside as if she spent it on the groceries. And then it's building up and building up and building up. So that's, you know, that's £50 a month when you think of it. And by the end of the year, that's £500-600.
She's a woman after my own heart.
I know. So are you now, are you still as good and as focused as you were the year that you kicked this off? Because you were really strict, weren't you, when you started doing the budgeting?
Yeah, I think I it was the nature of I'd given up my job and I was kind of, right, I need to make this work as best I can.
Mm.
And it actually, it sounds way stricter than what it was, because when you break it down the day-to-day basis, it actually wasn't as bad. So overall, I'm probably 85, 90% of what I was, not because I'm being strict on myself, but it's a habit now. I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier because I know I have my rainy day fund. I know I have my sinking funds, and it frees up my time and my brain to do more fun things.
You've actually gone retrained and everything, haven't you?
I did. I went, but you see, after the No Spend Year, when I was kind of blogging about it and stuff like that, people were asking how I was doing it, and the book came out and I started to do a few talks and bits and pieces. And I thought, gee, I better get a piece of paper behind this. So I did my QFA. So I don't work with products per se, but I am a qualified financial advisor as well, just so I have the full gambit, so I can at least pretend I have an idea what I'm talking about, Trina. Yeah.
Well, can I tell you, everyone, this is such an easy book to read. I know it's sold out 4 times already. Is it still available anywhere, Kel? Can you get it anywhere at all?
You still can. Most bookshops will have it, and if not, just go to my website, mrsmartmoney.com, and you'll get it there.
mrsmartmoney.com. That book is called Mindful Money, and it's a lovely read, because it's not like, you know, the way some financial books, it's the jargon and you haven't a clue what's going on in them. It's written for the ordinary person, but you can dip in and dip out. Like, I'm just flicking through it here, you know, mindful minimalism is one of the chapters. Let me see here, no spend days. I mean, it's broken down very easily. And if you want to be in control of your money, this is going to be a great help to you. So Kel, it's been lovely catching up. We hope that in the next time we have you on, that we'll have gotten through January and still maybe had a fiver by the end of the month. And if I don't talk to you before, have a great Christmas. Thanks so much.
Same to you, Trina. Have a brilliant one.
Cheers. It's Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Kids Radio.